Not happening around here, to say the least. Good morning to you. Joe DeCameron, John Ritchie. We got Ruben with us. Seltzer and Rhea. Busy day. So Fritz was trending yesterday on Twitter. I'm not making that up. The whole afternoon show was about Fritz. And me. But Fritz. And James, did you see that he was...
I did. I also know that there is a tennis player named Fritz playing in Wimbledon.
Oh.
So I'm guessing it might have been
let's just stick
something
with
to
Fritz.
That.
Our wow.
Fritz. Yeah.
Did
he sounds like Taylor Fritz or
did
something.
Did he
like
melt
that
down also?
I don't know.
Ruben, I'm really not going with my natural tendency to, rip. Yeah. I'm being a nice guy.
Well, you should be.
I should be.
Because you didn't necessarily win. You were giving it.
You
win.
Didn't lose. Is that
he thinks he won pretty
much. He's the high road hammer right now.
What? I don't like the high road hammer. The high road hammer is not as much fun.
you want him to beat him down.
After the way he spoke and the way he melted down at the first hint of competition is alarming.
Let's see what happens when it's all over.
There's a lot of competition left. You can't be talking too much smack.
You got to be careful about it. All right, let's get to not one, not two, but three different Twitter poll questions of the day, all brought to us by Armin Chevrolet. Armin Chevrolet wishing the entire Delaware Valley a happy and safe 4th of July. Armin Chevrolet, closer than you think. Together, let's drive. First poll question. With me up 1-0 in the best of five competition between me and Fritz, who do you now think will win it overall? Not the next one, but the overall best of five. Who's going to win? A, me, B, Fritz. Get voting on that. Second poll question. So, big announcement yesterday. WNBA coming to Philly in 5 years. We ask you this poll question. Are you excited that we are getting a WNBA team in Philadelphia? Three choices. A, yes, very excited. B, yes, somewhat excited. C, no, not excited. I'll be very interested, John, to see where that poll comes in. Where do you think that comes in?
I think everyone is pretty excited about
A?
The idea. Yeah.
I think B will win.
I would be
really?
B, personally.
I think B will win.
Yeah, I'm B.
Yeah.
I'm a B.
I'm a B. Somewhat excited.
A different ownership
group, a little excited.
It may be an A.
Maybe a little bit.
Well,
maybe.
I think that's the thing.
The one owner,
I mean, Roberts is one thing, but Josh Harris
right.
involved, I think people are a little light on that.
So they're playing, they're going to be a competitor of the Phillies, right? They're going to play like spring, summer. When does it end? Does it end football season? WNBA finals? Is that like September, October? We'll have to look it up. But I know they're on a different track than the NBA, because the NBA doesn't want to compete with the WNBA.
October 19th is the last possible finals date. So it looks like it's in October.
Yeah. So it does compete with the baseball.
With baseball and then the start of football.
Yeah.
Like the WNBA playoffs are going to be September, October Eagles. That's tough.
Yeah, so my heart says A.
That's
but
tough.
But my mind says
October
B.
Could, like, in much. Terms of like
yeah.
grabbing,
now listen, now
grabbing
the Phillies,
a piece of the,
yeah.
the media pie, so
right.
to speak, like October, if the Phillies
tough.
Are in the playoffs, that's a really tough
yeah,
time.
Yeah, Phillies breakthrough. Like the Phillies in October are a bigger deal than the Eagles when the Phillies are in the playoffs. They are. They're a bigger deal.
Is it likely, longer deal too. Is it likely that Don Staley gets lured here?
For what? For the WNBA?
I want her to be the Sixers coach. In my book, the book that I told you 2 weeks ago, I finally announced what it is. Literally at the very end of the chapter about Don Staley, I say, and this author hopes that someday she's the coach of the Sixers.
Well, the Knicks have reached out to her.
Yeah.
Okay. And she actually told Kylie Kelsey on her podcast, she doesn't want to coach in the NBA because she wants to be a part owner.
Part owner where?
Of a franchise. Well,
an NBA or WNBA?
WNBA, yeah. She doesn't want to be a coach of the WNBA. She wants to be an owner.
Of the W or NBA?
W.
W. NBA. Okay, well. I mean, listen, the Knicks thing is a wild scenario. Okay, well, I mean, if she doesn't want it, she doesn't want it.
I mean, if the Knicks offer the job and offer a lot of money, it'd be hard to turn that down.
They
if you're
spoke
her.
To her. No one's saying whether it was a formal.
Yeah, they're saying Mike Brown has the inside track.
Yeah, he's got a
for
second
that.
Interview.
We'll
on.
Say. Anyway,
what an
so,
unexciting hire that would be,
Mike well, Brown. Yeah,
I mean, really, you know.
Well, it is wild. They're trying to get free agents. They don't even have a coach. I mean, by the way, a lot of people might not know, free agency started yesterday, and the reason you might not know, Sixers haven't done much, but here's what you should know. Eric Gordon declined his $1 million, his 1 year, $3.4 million option, although there's talk he could be back. Oubre picked up his $8.4 million player option. We know Drummond picked up his, I believe it was $5 million option. And then the Sixers signed a guy yesterday I never heard of, Trendon Watford. 2 years, $5.3 million.
It's actually a fake name. It's not a real person. Yeah.
Whoever he is, come on down.
You can't stop him, Joe. You can only hope to continue.
Yeah, that's right.
Trendon is a name I've never heard before.
I haven't either. I've never heard it. All right, yeah. Here's our third poll question. One more on the Sixers, and then right back to the phones and all the other stuff, primarily baseball and me and Jack. So, actually, I want to play audio of Bobby Marks, and then I want to tee up this LeBron question. Bobby Marks yesterday talking about how narrow the trade market really is for LeBron if the Lakers want to trade him, which it sounds like they may want to because he may want to get traded. Listen to something on ESPN Bobby Marks said.
If he wanted to be traded, is there even a market for him at this point?
You know, to be sensitive to LeBron, who's considered one of the greatest of all time, there isn't, and here's why, Dan. He's making $53 million. He's in his last year of his contract. He's 40 years old, and I talked to numerous teams yesterday and asked that same question. Would you give up basically the farm? And basically, you'd have to give up four or five players to go get LeBron James for 1 year. And the unanimous answer was no, they wouldn't.
Isn't that amazing? Now I want to pull this back and give you some context because I'm going to bring this back to the Sixers and Joel. So the team that most people think if he gets traded, he'll get traded to is the Cavs. But there's talk, and Bobby Marks said this on ESPN, that if he gets traded to Cleveland, it will require, ready for this, six players to be traded.
Yeah, they're not doing that.
Because they don't have salaries that match up.
$53 million he makes.
Yeah, so check this out. We around here, a lot of people have been saying, let's just try to find a way to get out of Joel. Guys, let me give you basic facts. Next year, LeBron James makes $53 million. Yeah, Ray, I'm rounding up, 52 and a half. 53, LeBron. Joel next year, 55.
Oh, my God.
It's a match. Like, there may be no match in the NBA that makes any sense for the Lakers or the other team more than Joel Embiid. This could be your get-out-of-jail-free card if you just want to dump Joel's. Because here's the overall. LeBron, 1 year, $53 million. Joel, 4 years, $247 million. But because the money escalates on Joel's contract, he's only 55 this year. You could, ladies and gentlemen, just trade Joel for LeBron. Could. So I asked this Twitter poll question. Would you trade Joel Embiid for LeBron? Whether it's to try to win a title with LeBron or just get out of the Joel contract.
How many times
we have a better chance.
It actually lines up.
We have a better chance to win.
How many more years does LeBron have on his?
Only 1 year.
Oh, dude, it's a no-brainer.
To do it?
Correct.
To get rid of Joel's contract.
Of course.
Like there might be no deal in the
He's
NBA that makes more sense.
There's no way on his deal.
Why would the Lakers do?
That's the thing. They won't.
Well,
I'll
tell you
years.
Why. Cause,
why
cause,
would they do?
No,
that?
Well, they may not because of fear of Joel's knee.
Exactly.
No, I agree with you. They very, very, very well may not. But the reason why they may, if they feel they can get him medically right and have Joel Embiid and Luka Doncic, I mean, you know, because okay. I mean, Ruben, remember this: LeBron's only playing probably one or two more years. And he's obviously declining. And we all know Joel's declining. But if he gets right, I mean, I'll say this. In a world where, you got analysts saying there's no good fit, this one does make some sense.
I would do it in a second.
Seltzer, would you do it?
Sixer.
Yeah, I think I would do it.
Both hands raised.
Yeah.
No doubt.
I would.
Okay. That'd be a no-brainer.
And I'm not even like that excited about LeBron.
Yeah, I get it.
Just more to get rid of Embiid.
I'm not a LeBron guy. I wish I was, but I'm not.
All right, so look, we put all that on the table. WNBA are excited. Me and Fritz, who wins overall? Would you trade Joel for LeBron? There's a lot there. Biggest thing today has been Bryce Harper, but let's also go to the win last night because Zach Wheeler was amazing. Let's just detail this and then right to the phones. Matter of fact, the Phil scored their first three runs. Without the ball leaving the infield,
I thought it was fantastic.
Right?
It was fantastic.
Bouncy hit.
See, that is the thing.
You're right, John.
I know that the team obviously is not swinging the bats offensively nearly where we should expect them to do.
Yep.
But they can beat you in different ways. They have speed and they have power. Have they shown it consistently? Not really. Maybe the speed a little bit. They don't do it consistently. There's no question about it. I get it. The offense has been paltry. But I feel like they can beat teams in a lot of different ways because they have speed and power.
Yeah.
And just to have that at the bottom of the lineup with Stott and Marsh and making things happen. I wish Marsh was a little bit more aggressive with his He's not a great base stealer. He runs well. He's not a great base stealer. Stott is, but Marsh should be a little bit more aggressive, yeah. I think. He could. Mm-hmm. He can be, because he runs well. Mm-hmm. And I like to see those guys, you know, and he's getting on base more.
So what is that? Lack of instinct or lack of preparation? No, why would Stott be better than Marsh?
It's just that it's an art. I mean, stealing bases is an art.
So it is instinct, right?
A lot of it's instinct. Some of it's just like fast twitch. Some of it is just reading pitchers better. He just doesn't get nearly the type of jumps that a guy like Bryson Stott gets.
Interesting. Well, Stott made a big impact on the first two runs. So the first one, it's an RBI ground out by Stott that scores a runner. The second is that Stott scores. This was awesome. This was reminded me of Chase Utley. Yep. Because you don't see this very often, infield anything, hit, in this case a hit, where a runner, in this case Stott, scores from second base. That is the exact type of scenario that in 2000, I think it was 6 or 5, is when Harry Callis famously said, Chase Utley, you are the man, because he scored from second on an infield hit.
Yep.
And that's exactly what Stott did last night. Cassidy eventually had a homer in the fifth. That's when you pretty much knew with Wheeler on the mound, game's over. You're up 4-0. Let's give Wheeler, because Wheeler's the star of the game. Wheeler, 8 innings, freaking strong.
Wheeler ready, and a 1-2 pitch on the way. Swing and a miss. He struck him out. And what a way to finish for Zach Wheeler tonight. His 10th strikeout of the night as he goes 8 scoreless innings.
All right, great job by him. Whether it's Wheeler, Harper, he's playing, but he's banged up. Me and Jack, WNBA, Joel for LeBron, would you do it? All of this on the table, 215-592-9494. Let's talk to Dr. Gina. Gina, good morning.
Good morning, everybody. Rube, you know, I stayed up later than you did last night. I don't know, although you had to drive home. I watched your post game and everything. Like, You're a champion. I'm on my way to the dentist, so I'm a champion too. So,
yeah. Nice going, Gina.
Dr. Gina.
And speaking of champions, Joe, I got to give you your flowers because I was a little worried because one of my patients works at Yardley and was at the at Ruben's outing and saw you trying to make your way out of a sand trap and didn't really, let's just say, have a lot of faith in your athletic skill.
No, I can tell you unequivocally, Dr. Gina, my sand game is the worst part of my game, and it's why I got there an hour and a half early, and I went to a bunker, and I was working on it before the head golf pro got there to meet with me, and then for a long time with him. I mean,
it wasn't your game within the, it was you trying to get out. He said you almost fell right on your, you know what.
Well, sometimes the sand, like, you can almost fall sometimes. That's right. If it's
a
certain kind
of
hill.
Yeah. Despite all that, I'm so proud of you. Because you know, like with your 3-point shooting contest, who was your biggest cheerleader, right?
Thank you.
Everybody else was naysaying you. Humility today really strikes me. Rhea, I understand that it's not the Joe we know and love, but your humility today is very refreshing.
Important. I mean, Gina, one of my points about Fritz is I didn't think he was showing proper respect to elders, in this case, an elder and me. And it's important for me as an elder to teach the younger generation. You know, because after all, they are our future. They are our future. Let us show them the way.
Yes, I am your elder. I'm glad to see that you've listened to your elders to a certain extent and taken a firm dose of humility, too.
It's important.
It's very important.
Yeah.
But now I'm going to put on my chiropractor hat. And, you know, when you have a hammer, everything looks like a nail. I understand that. But I really think Bryce Harper's problems, I do think he has one of the small bones in his wrist misaligned. And he needs what I fondly call the whack-whack, put it back, which is what I use. I use a very different technique that just uses my thumb to gently realign. I think he has one of the bones in his wrist out of alignment, because you can exercise and do rehab and ice it and all that stuff from now till the end of time. But if something is not properly aligned, functionality is all about structure affects function. So that's what I really
part
think.
Of what concerns me, Gene, is they didn't do surgery last year.
No.
Phillies lost fairly early in October. You have 5.5 months until the start of a season. If it's
It's not surgical, Joe. This is not a surgical issue. This is just a slight misalignment, which can cause ridiculous amounts of pain, ridiculous amounts of pain, and lack of functionality. So,
all right,
anyway,
Gina, give me a great answer. You can win the Adam Sandler tickets. Who should have had a better career?
How about Mark Hamill?
Interesting.
Yeah,
certainly could have.
But should he
was
have?
He talented?
Yeah, like is he a good actor? I don't know.
I thought he was because I was a little kid.
Yeah,
but maybe he was just not.
Little and that.
Yeah, I think he's just not that great.
He might have been a bad one.
All right, Ruben, baseball player that should have had a better career. Who's the first? Because for me, the first one that comes to mind is Gooden, and he was really good, but he should have had a better career. Number one baseball player should have had a better career. Who is it?
Wow. I thought Darryl Strawberry could have been greater.
He'd be my number two.
Yeah,
and those guys did a lot. They could have done a lot more.
Good. I think that they had some personal demons going on.
Well, clearly,
God, I have to think about that.
Yeah.
For a little.
Well, we're looking for the.
Give me some time.
Yeah, we're looking for the best answer today from sports, from acting, from any walk of life. Who should have had a better career? Best answer, whoever provides it is going to win Adam Sandler tickets. Let's talk to Derek in Paoli. Derek, good morning.
Good morning.
What's up, buddy?
Yo, listen, man. You being a little too nice on him, man, because if he would have beat you, man, they would be talking all that trash.
And I know.
The fact that he brought his little henchman with him to try to intimidate you, man, that was a coward move.
That's
right there.
What
you should
it
have
was.
Came by yourself.
Derek, it might be they knew he's so fragile they needed to be there like crutches for him.
Wow.
Like what we saw was a man who
back,
needs
though,
support. What's that?
You had his back though, John. So I mean, you saying he's frail and this and that. You had Jack's back more than you had Joe's.
Well, I had no idea how frail Jack was going to
it
be.
It is pretty eye-opening for you, right? Because I mean,
mind-boggling.
It really is.
Yeah, I mean, I've never seen anything quite that bad. Any sort of competition, like physical sporting competition, I don't know that I've ever seen someone take it that far.
Yeah, it was really
wow. He just called Jack the worst competitor he's ever seen.
Yeah, maybe.
that's probably close.
Listen, he had nine straight shots, guys. I mean, you know how almost
that's a total meltdown.
Now, drops in there, but
no, that's a meltdown.
Nine straight. Strokes before I got to shoot
and
again.
One of those, he tried to pick up the ball and throw it.
Forward. Yeah, Ruben, he tried to throw the ball forward. He really did.
No, that was crazy, man. Yeah. That was crazy. Listen, though, the fact that when he came on there and said I lost and da-da-da-da, that just shows that was weak. He should have came on there and said, from here on out, I'm going to do this, that, and the third to him because golf was the one that everybody said that you couldn't win. So if you don't win no other competition, right, you got to celebrate the one that you already won until y'all play again. And one more thing before y'all cut me off, right? I wish that either Seltzer or Rhea could go up against Spike in something because Spike talked like he got all this powers and he's headstrong and this and that. I would love to see Rhea challenge him in some sort of competition and take his will.
Get him, Rhea.
I don't think he has much will either, though.
Not doing a competition.
Wow.
You know what I mean?
Wow. I like this, Rhea. What can you beat Spike in?
Throwing up the gauntlet.
John and Ike, y'all was pros, so I, you know, that's whatever.
I'm going to give you a prediction right now, Derek. I'm going to give you a prediction right now. Rhea will, when history is all said and done here at WIP, will beat Spike for a longer tenured WIP talk show host.
There we go.
Yeah. And I'll even include his run as a program director. She'll be a longer tenured employee when all is said and done than whenever that Spike guy wraps up.
That is probably true.
Yeah, probably is. Derek, give me an answer, pal. Who should have had a better career?
Yo, you know who I thought was going to be it, man? Back in the day, I don't know what happened to him. He was ahead of his time, I guess. Derek Coleman had everything, man.
That's a great answer,
it's
man.
A phenomenal answer.
DC was someone who should have been a top five player in the NBA. And
didn't feel like it.
A few whoopty-damn-doos later, he just became a... You know what's incredible? After being drafted in 90, think about this. After being drafted in 90, I'd have to look it up, but I think it's about 4 years later, maybe five. He gets traded for Sean Bradley, who was a known stiff. Think about that.
That's amazing.
Like, it wasn't even like 10 years into Derek Coleman's career. It's about 5 years into his career. He's traded for Bradley. Holy mackerel. All right, holy mackerel was Fritz, obviously, with his meltdown. He addressed it at the start of their show yesterday. Let's listen to Fritz.
So you have the floor.
Rick Ankiel, Mark Elfaltz, Scott Brosius, Jack Fritz. I mean, that's what yesterday was. Yesterday was not the camera beating me. Yesterday was me losing that. And it was a total embarrassment, an absolute embarrassment. That's probably the worst round of golf I've played in 20 years. And I think I got totally psyched out of my own mind. Like, you saw it yesterday. I mean, that was a vintage meltdown. That was a vintage freaking meltdown. And I couldn't believe it. I couldn't believe I was sitting there, and I freaking duffed like three straight off the freaking tee, which has never been a problem for me in my entire life, and all of a sudden yesterday, it all came crumbling down. So, like, my official comment is it was one of the biggest choke jobs in the history of Philadelphia sports. I mean, it's up there with the Rondé Barber play. Like, when you remember awful moments in Philadelphia sports history, this is going to be up there. And, like, I felt so much pressure from people, like, wanting me to go kill Joe to camera. I'm not a pressures man, you know? I'm a lower the expectations kind of guy. And yesterday I felt the weight of the world on my shoulders, and I didn't handle it well. It was awful. It was truly awful.
For those that were backing him as likely to win, that's got to be concerning.
I'm a lower the expectation kind of guy.
I'm not a pressures man. Yeah.
What
I mean,
is
John,
that?
John, you and Ruben played like pro that. Sports. That's got to, like, break your skull to hear that, right? Oh,
all of this is very concerning. If you thought that Jack were to have any chance,
he's succumbing.
I can't get over.
He's succumbing to
the way he's diffusing this.
He's defeated.
And by the way,
he's not even blaming
himself. And his sports brain, like, well, he is a little bit, but his sports brain also isn't working. It wasn't Scott Brosius, it was Chuck Knobloch. He's forgetting baseball. Yeah,
no, Brosius had his moment in the World Series against the Diamondbacks.
Yeah. What are you saying?
He had the homers, but Brosius also have a really big GOAT moment, like a opposite, like a.
He did.
I think he did.
I was there against the Yankees against the World Series.
Did he drop a pop-up when he
was
playing? Like
yeah, it was something.
Yeah, Scott Brosius tonight. There was the time Knobloch didn't pick up the ball. So Knobloch
was a separate thing.
No, there's two different Knobloch issues.
One, I know the Knobloch stuff.
No, one, he couldn't throw the ball to first. Two, there was a play where the ball was on the ground and he was arguing with the ump and he didn't throw and the guy came home and scored. I don't think there was any – I don't know what he's doing with Scott Brosius. My point is Fritz seems affected every which way. Anyway, let's listen to Ike.
Why is he not more upset with himself? He's not – for my taste.
Yeah.
It sounds almost like this is still like jokey joke.
A little bit.
You know, like
I agree with that.
I'm amazed at that part.
He's a sarcastic guy.
He should be more angry with himself.
Yeah.
Yes. He should be devastated. Yes. Like, yeah. Holy cow, guys.
Yes.
What the heck did I just do? That will never happen again.
Yeah.
I promise you, I will validate. I will return and I will conquer the next time. But this is like, I'm not a competitive person or something.
Yeah.
Like, I can't handle going up against Joe. Like, it sounds like you are going to lose because you can't swing this thing one-on-one. If we were to sit you down with Joe to camera and say, hey, write your name. See who writes their name better. Are you going to fail, Jack, because
Shaking with the hand?
Is your hand shaking?
Yeah.
Because now he's so inside your brain, you can't be Jack.
Yeah, I did not think he was going to be the most mentally tough. I was stunned with how far from mentally tough he was. I really was. So you can tell Spike and Ike were not happy with him. They were trying to prop him up yesterday, but not happy. Listen to Ike. This was clearly one of
Ike's.
But
they're trying to be gentle with it. Like,
yeah.
Not yell at him, like, encourage
him. Ike, right here, you're going to hear his displeasure with with Jack's performance.
Yesterday was disgraceful. You just put it out there. I don't know what else.
It was horrible.
I don't know any other way to say it.
It was horrible.
Mike, I don't know any other way to say it. I mean, we're out there. We're coming out there to root our guy on. First of all, it's 95 degrees. I've told you. Milk chocolate melts out there, man. I'm out there, and I'm burning up. I'm thinking it's going to be five holes tops.
Five holes. That's
Six
what I
maybe.
Thought. That's what I
and
thought.
And we're out of here with a Fritz win. And I didn't expect the need to win three out of the last four holes just to get the overtime.
I mean, it was astounding.
How long were you golfing for?
It took a long time.
Like two
hours? Some would say that I had an approach, and Ruben, I'm sorry for this analogy. Game 3, Phillies, Yankees. 09, Pettit, Posada, 30,000 mound visits. You remember that? How he slowed down the game with the mound visits?
I don't remember.
Well, I do, but I know this. Slowing things down can benefit a team at times. And I was very meticulous out there. Now, and in the end, it almost cost me because I was running out of gas. But, you know, there was a certain strategy there. Let's listen.
That's a Jamie Moyer tactic as well.
That too.
Yeah, he did that a lot.
Yes, he did. Let's listen to Spike. Because Spike took this in a whole different direction. A couple people right here start getting oozied. Here's Spike yesterday.
A quick message to everyone else on this radio station. Everyone outside of this room, and maybe Richie, is dead to me. Seltzer is dead to me. Seltzer the entire time basically sounded like he was rooting for Fritz.
He was.
Until this morning when he heard that Joe won and he's laughing up a storm and hooting and hollering. So Seltzer is dead to me. Oh. Rio was already there. Whatever. Actually, Richie actually sounded very disappointed that camera won.
I think Richie had a lot of faith in Fritz.
Yeah, so I think Richie is a foxhole guy. The midday show, Giglio laughing it up, calling you Jack Quits.
There's no quitting.
Hugh Douglas, you kind of wanted to in the middle.
The drive on six, my third straight duff off the tee, I did say I wanted to go home, and then I hit a rescue shot to save my life.
Well, Hugh Douglas also taking great joy out of this, it seems like. It's like everybody, then no one else, and by the way, the morning show, the entire point of this entire exercise was for the morning show to drift off of us. And so like they are dead to me. The drifting is over. Once this promotion is done, the drifting is over. You're going to have to make your way yourself.
The drifting.
Yeah,
I love the nickname Jack Quits.
Jack Quits amazing. Also just speaking of drifting, there's one show that talks about the other constantly, nonstop, and has for a really long time.
Right.
There's another show that just does their show and goes about their business. So, you know, drifting. Who's drifting?
Good point.
Okay.
Good point.
It's unbelievable. Anyway.
And also, Foxhole guys, that's your show. Like, yes, good. You guys do your Foxhole thing.
Look, we'll take the calls. Where you stand on this whole thing? I'm trying to remain above
Jack Quits.
I want to be above the fray.
Jack Quits is pretty great. Jack Quits is really, really good. It's really good.
Matter of fact, I'm writing that one down. Jack.
Oh, my goodness.
But remember, I'm not signing off on any of this. I'm above the fray.
I have signed off on all of it.
I'm writing that one down, but don't use it, okay?
All right. Elliot will join us in just a couple of minutes on the Eagles, on Sixers free agency, and more. Jordan and Princeton right now. Good morning, Jordan.
Good morning, guys. Jack Quits. That one's pretty good. You should write that down, Joe.
That's funny.
You should write that down. Listen, Joe, just hold on a second. I'm going to get to you, okay? I had a few things I wanted to talk about.
Sure.
John Ritchie. First of all, I don't get to talk to you a lot, John. And as the most interesting man in radio, you mentioned something yesterday I love, that Kit Kat fact in Japan. Have you ever been to Japan?
No, I'm dying to go.
You walk into a 7-Eleven or a Family Mart in Japan, and the first thing that hits you is a wall of Kit Kat. And as a warm-blooded American, you've got no idea what any of these things say. There's no English on the packages, and the pictures don't tell you. So it's like playing Russian roulette with candy. You know, you just buy seven of them, and you know, you're trying it. No, God, this one's disgusting.
Yeah.
And then you find one you like, and you have to go and you try and match the wrapper up to it.
Sure.
Again.
And some of the flavors are like, I don't know, melon and cheese. You don't know. You have no idea what it could be.
I've been into some, and you just recoil. What the hell is this? This isn't candy. This does not taste like candy.
That's wild, man.
Anyway, that's funny.
You know, when you go to Japan and then you blow all the Japanese yen you have left in the airport on Kit Kats, you just fill all your carry-on luggage. Yeah. They got tons of candy, so they just fill them. So the other thing, I got a fact I want to throw back your way. If you didn't see this, look up the population bottleneck of 800,000 years ago. The whole population of the world supposedly was reduced to 1,200 because of climate change. So we all descend from 1,200 pre-Neolithic humans.
Well, let me ask you this. If we were at 1,200, wouldn't we at one point had been at 1,159?
It's entirely possible, and that might
mean 99?
An even larger chance.
1,200. Oh, 1,199.
You're doing it like clock math.
1,159.
Well, 1,159 would have been before 1,199. All right, I did clock math. Sorry.
Clock math.
I was on the tables of six instead of tables of 10. My fault. Okay.
That would increase the chance.
All right, Jordan, I got to move to Elliot. You got 15 seconds on Fritz. What do you say?
What I have to say is when the Phillies go on a horrible road trip and they win one game 13-0, you don't say it was a good road trip, Joe. When you card an 11 or a 13 in golf, you won, but you didn't. Just keep the ego down a little bit.
Keep
the ego inside the Tasty. I'm saying you're doing great, buddy. Keep it inside the Tasty Cake studio. You got a lot coming to you. I think the whole world is rooting for you now. Everybody loves the underdog.
Thanks.
And you are the underdog. So keep your head in the
for
game,
now,
man. And let's see
that's
where
the
this thing
goes.
Well, Jordan, you know I've been saying for a while, rent's due every day. So like
you're
this,
not allowed to do
no,
that.
This isn't
you
one of the
no. You can't
that.
Do that.
Ruben,
you're not allowed.
Like,
not
this
allowed
is one of those
that.
Things. You keep focused.
No.
It's what
not,
it is, man.
Not yours,
Jordan. Give me.
Jalen actually told me you're not allowed. Like personally, he said Joe is not allowed to use any of my phrases.
All right, Jordan, give me an answer. Who should have had a better career?
Shout out to my beautiful wife Jennifer. She has a great career, but Rick Moranis should have had a better career. It's a shame he left acting because of his wife. He might be back in Spaceballs too, but Rick Moranis was everything for a period.
Maybe. He was a little bit of a dweeb.
He was great, though.
Yeah,
that
was
the character he was playing.
He was. But like, if they're going to make a Bill Gates movie, he could play it. But otherwise, not Hollywood A-lister.
He was. Rick Moranis was a massive star.
He was Hollywood B-pluser.
You found him dweebish, Joe?
Yeah, he's dweebish.
A little too dweebish for your taste.
Yeah. I mean, he looks like Bill Gates.
Hot kettle, the whole thing.
Looks like Bill Gates. Let's talk to Elliot Shore Parks. By the way, ladies and gentlemen, we're in July. Ruben, what does July mean?
I don't know what
Come
it means,
on.
Dude.
Football terms. What does July mean in football terms? Training camp. In a couple weeks, we are in the month.
Dude, I'm locked into the Phillies right
as
now.
As you should be, but I'm just saying there's something else on the horizon, and Elliot Shore Parks will be detailing that for us all year with the Eagles. But also, we're going to do some Sixers and Phils with Elliot right now. Elliot is brought to us by Colonial Hyundai. Shop online 24/7 at colonialhyundai.com. Colonial Hyundai, the faster, easier, better way to buy a Hyundai. Good morning, Elliot.
Man, you know, yesterday, Joe, I was sitting at home. I didn't want to get up and work out this morning. Opened Twitter, and what did I see? In the gym from the Hammer. So I got up, I set my alarm, just trying to be like you. You're motivating me. I appreciate it.
Well, I appreciate that.
Do you think you are like Joe at the gym? Does Joe go?
Yeah, I went yesterday.
Tweeted about yesterday.
But I wasn't sure if that was
a king.
No, that was a real tweet. And then
from the gym.
Yeah, no, one person criticized me and said, well, you're not working out right if you're tweeting from the gym. But I also have a show to foster. I knew it kind of create a little
multitasking
in between sets, of course. And then after that, Elliot, I went out for a 2-hour walk. Like, I'm all in. Elliot, do you think Jack was all in? Do you think he now moving forward will be all in?
So I do think by winning, I think you've got him in a place where he will be more focused. He clearly didn't prepare for golf as much as you did. I guess my question for you would be, I've heard a lot over the last 24 hours about how Jack's nervous, mentally he can't handle it. Are you nervous now? Because the roles have changed. You were playing with house money before. You said you were going to win, but no one actually believed you. Now everybody's picking you. Now you're expected to win. Like, do you feel differently after that win yesterday? Are you feeling a little nervous?
No, I'd say I feel more confident, but I know this. Baseball is really important. If he wins baseball, he could win this whole thing, for sure. If I win baseball, then I have a spectacular chance to win. So
yeah, if you go up 2-0, it's over.
Yeah, baseball is really critical.
I have zero faith that he can throw the ball into the catcher's mitt. Like, I have zero faith.
It's moving
now.
That way, right?
Yeah. The catcher's mitt is like fescue to me. The catcher's mitt has become
Jackie Fescue.
He might take 8 or 9 swings of the arm and miss it every single time. And when that happens, he will just melt.
Wild. Anyway, it's been fun. And the next competition is Wednesday of next week. So shortly after the 4th of July, we get out of baseball. Elliot, I want to get to some Phil stuff, and then we'll get to the Eagles and Sixers. So I want to play audio for you of Bryce Harper prior to yesterday's game. And, of course, he played last night, which was great to have him back. But, man, what he said before the game, to me, almost trumps or does trump, in my opinion, that he played in the game. Because this is, in my opinion, both a short-term and long-term problem. Listen to what Bryce said as he was just an hour or two away from returning, you know, from the injury.
I didn't think I was going to take any other steps forward of feeling better or anything like that. I thought we were kind of at a standstill of it feeling the same the last couple of days. And, you know, from BP to live and things like that kind of gave us the same result each day. So I thought today was a good one.
So, Elliot, what's your reaction to hearing Bryce frame his, you know, quote, recovery that way?
So I think it's obviously bad. He doesn't sound like he is as healthy as he wants to be. I also think he sounds a bit dejected. He's not coming back with, you know, that type of enthusiasm you would hope. You would hope that after all this time off, he'd be able to come back and feel energized, feel ready to go. Like, all right, here comes this run for the second half of the season. Instead, the whole attitude was basically, yeah, this is the best it's going to get, so I'm going to try. And I think the larger picture concern there is Bryce is clearly breaking down. I mean, you know, when they signed him a bunch of years ago, it was he has such a violent swing. Look how powerful he is. Well, now a bunch of years into his career, I don't know if he has that anymore. And him playing first base, we talk about it so much from how it impacts the roster, but I don't think we bring up enough that halfway through his contract, he's essentially had to move to first base because of his body, right? That's why they don't want to move him to other positions, because of his body. So I have a short-term concern, obviously, for the rest of the season, but we're only halfway through this contract, and he's clearly breaking down physically, and that's a big worry. At least I think it should be for the Phillies.
Yeah, big problem. All right, let's get to football, Elliot, as we kind of go around the diamond of sports, so to speak. So big story yesterday, T.J. Watt, you know, of course, still unhappy with Pittsburgh. And there's reports the teams are lining up their offers. What do you think it would take to get T.J. Watt? And do you think Howie Roseman will be in the next 2 to 3 weeks when this thing probably will be resolved before camp, I would guess. Do you think Howie will be in for that type of price?
I do not. I do not think they'll trade for T.J. Watt. I don't think they want to pay the contract price. I don't think it's as much about the draft capital. They have a lot of draft capital. And frankly, they don't really need a lot of draft capital. They have a young roster with not a lot of holes. So they're not a team that needs to hold on to picks. But I just think financially, they have made such a priority this season not to hand out big, massive contracts. And all because of next year. We talked so much about Jalen Carter. Nolan Smith could get paid. Tyler Steen could get paid. Keely Ringo could get paid. Potentially Nakobe could get paid. There are so many players on this roster that will be eligible after their third year for a big deal. I don't think they're going to want to give T.J. Watt the kind of cash up front that it would take to get him. So I don't think it'll be a draft capital thing. I just don't think they're going to want to pay T.J. And I think he's going to stay in Pittsburgh, but I don't think he'll be an Eagle.
Wow. You mentioned Tyler Steen could get paid. I'm assuming that means he's the right guard, but you know, we haven't even really talked about that much. There was just the one OTA day. Do we know much about this team? Did we learn as much about this team this offseason as we normally would, Elliot?
Yeah, I would say so. I mean, you know, the days of us having a 3-day mandatory minicamp where we get to watch them for 3 straight days, or we get to watch them twice a week, or in the locker room, those days are just over. That's just not what it is in the off season anymore. So, you know, seeing him out there, I think I saw 3 practices this year. A couple of them, the whole team wasn't there. So I don't know if we learned a ton about watching them as a whole team. But in terms of Tyler Steen, one takeaway was, he was with the first team every time we were out there. Now, that doesn't mean that won't change in training camp. Kenyon Green is, you know, learning the offense. He's learning chemistry with the offensive linemen, and maybe that's why he wasn't out there. But I do think Tyler Steen has a real, real chance to be that starting right guard. A name I would keep in mind, I don't think we've said once all summer, is Matt Pryor.
Matt Pryor
has played right guard a ton. He's played tackle. He's played on both sides of the line. He has more experience than any of their other backups. I think he is a key part of this offensive line. And if Tyler Steen's not getting it done in training camp, I wouldn't rule out Matt Pryor being the guy over Kenyon Green.
You know, Elliot, I want to, you know, get to as they prepare for this season. Of course, we've got one example in recent Eagles history of trying to win after winning the Super Bowl. And the last group didn't do it well. I mean, they just didn't. 9-7, nice charge in the playoffs. But, I mean, come on, that was a very disappointing year. Do you think the Eagles, who are trying to learn from that, Lurie on down, Lurie and Howie, the two guys of prominence that were here when that happened, do you think they're annoyed that their ring ceremony has been delayed until right before training camp? I mean, the day came out, what is it, Rhea?
July 18th.
And Elliot, they go to camp which day?
The 22nd, I believe they report.
I mean, they were supposed to do this thing in like...
Well, there's nothing they could do. No,
I understand
that. The materials
weren't
ready.
The materials didn't get here. We know there's shipping issues in America. Like that's got to annoy the hell out of them. I mean, they're going to have this celebration 4 days before they sort of start a new season, sort of. That's got to annoy the heck out of them.
Yeah, and, you know, obviously it's not their fault, but I would be furious if I was them. Not only are you doing this right before training camp, I mean, they've had this planned out, and to have to wait, I mean, this is not, you know, like a general order here. This is Super Bowl champion rings. You would think that they would get done in time.
Yeah.
And also, I mean, for not just the team in terms of a distraction, think of all the players that are on new teams that are going to have to then report to camp a few days later in a new city, in their new home, and move and all that. So, yeah, absolutely. I definitely think this being so close to camp is not how they would have scripted it, for sure.
Ruben, as a GM, I got to imagine that would have bothered the heck out of you, right?
Correct.
You're about to start a season, and you have the ceremony 4 days before that for the last championship?
These guys are coming to town like 5 days before camp to do this celebration.
Yeah.
If I'm those guys, I'm so ticked right now because, like, this is the last – this is your last opportunity to spend every moment you can with your family and with your wife and kids.
That's true,
before camp starts. And you're telling me I got to report 4 or 5 days earlier?
So maybe they just stay instead of go back.
We're already early because we won the Super Bowl and we're playing in the first game on Thursday.
Yeah.
And now you're accelerating that even more.
And you know what I would say to that? You're getting a Super Bowl ring.
Yeah, but it is your last week of vacation.
But it's not like
they're going to work the next day. They can come to the ring thing and then go back to have a couple days off.
But you're not going to go back to the Bahamas.
No, but
you're
going to come here anyway. You're not going to wait till the last day before training camp and be in the Bahamas. You know?
I don't know.
I don't think. I think the bigger issue is more. I think the bigger issue is more that they want to turn the page.
Well, yeah.
And then it's like, let's celebrate again. I think that's a much bigger issue than what Rich is talking about.
That is a bigger issue. But I think John's point is another one. I mean, I don't think John's point is going to impact them negatively for the season. It's just got to be an irritating situation for players.
Stuff that's not quite the way you want.
When you're
to
on
be.
Vacation, you want to be on vacation. Yeah. I mean, period. Everyone, you get vacation at work.
I would agree with that.
You want to be on vacation. Yeah.
I'm surprised you're not doing during training camp.
You can't with the other players. You can't have CJ GJ fly in from the Texans.
But you don't have to have them fly in. I mean,
no, you got to give them a chance.
They earned it.
No, you don't. You got to give Milton Williams and Josh
World
Sweat.
Series rings
exactly.
To players.
That's,
exactly.
But that's
they
a
do it
changes.
Different. Baseball does it differently. You do it the game, changes. You know?
Well, you can, Ruben, but they have a template in this sport that it's done in June and you bring back the guys that were your.
I thought it was really cool. Phil Villapiano from the Oakland Raiders came and delivered my AFC championship ring at Eagles training camp.
Well, that is nice.
Which is really nice. And it really meant a lot to me.
That's not a Super Bowl ring. If you had won the Super Bowl, you would have gone back
to
get your ring.
Do the same.
I agree.
That's a personal thing that you do for someone. Yeah. I think that has a lot more meaning.
All right, Elliot, one more question for you, because we're also dabbling in this Joel LeBron thing. So I know you know that the Lakers could trade LeBron. Rich Paul came out expressing... I guess it's fair to say concern with the way the Lakers, and he referenced that they're rebuilding and that their timeline might not line up with LeBron's timeline. So we've all played Monopoly, and we all know in Monopoly it's great when you get the get-out-of-jail-free card. I mean, it's awesome, get-out-of-jail-free. The Sixers could have a get-out-of-jail-free card courtesy of Joel's contract if they traded Joel for LeBron. Their salaries frickin' match. $53 million for $55 million for 1 year, but then Joel's got the extra 3 years. So it works. Would you do it if you're the Sixers?
So I would have very little interest in acquiring LeBron outside of just the content of it. It would be crazy to see him in Philadelphia. I actually don't think on the team it makes much sense. But there is honestly not a single expiring contract I wouldn't trade Joel for. Like I would, I would literally trade him for nothing.
If Ben
LeBron
Simmons?
Said,
but he doesn't count.
If LeBron said he would not report to Philadelphia, I would still trade Joel for LeBron. So whatever you have to do to get out of that contract, you do. But I don't think LeBron is a very attractive trade piece at this point.
But to get out of Joel's contract, it could be.
Well, sure. I mean, Bradley Beal in Phoenix, I mean, he's terrible.
I mean, just as a for instance, Ellie, you could trade him for LeBron and cut LeBron if you wanted to. I'm not saying I would do that.
Yeah,
you could trade
LeBron. You could acquire LeBron, have his rights, and try to flip him at the deadline.
You could do that too.
Lots of ways you could do it, but whatever gets out of the next 4 years of Joel, I think they absolutely have to.
Interesting. Elliot, stay well, buddy. Appreciate the call. We'll talk more about me versus Jack next week.
Wait, I got
Jack
one more thing.
Yeah.
Elliot, do we know for sure, like right now, is Kelee Ringo our starting cornerback on the outside? Is he our cornerback too, heading into camp?
Yeah, so
I think he will start training camp in that role. I thought he had a good last day of practice that we got to see.
Yeah, that's
great. I don't think he's locked into that role, but I do think it is his job to lose.
Wow, great.
Elliot, good stuff, bud. We'll talk next week. Thanks. Have a good 4th of July, Elliot.
Yep, you too. See you
later. Pal. Appreciate it. 215-592-9494. All right, coming back with a ton of calls. 8 o'clock hour, all free for calls. We're coming to you on that. Also, a little bit of audio, more of what Fritz said. Best tweet. Absolute single best tweet that I saw related to the me versus Jack thing. It is a haymaker from someone you know. Who it is, what he wrote, tell you next. Joe DeCameron, John Rich, it's 94 WIP. All right, isn't it time to invest in yourself? I certainly say it is. So how about you start with PI Dental Center? With their decades of experience in complex dental treatment, and I've been a patient at PI Dental now for 2 decades, my mom a patient there for 3 decades. With Dr. Glenn Wolfinger and Dr. Robert Slough, both sensational with what they do, both board-certified prosthodontists. They specialize in the restoration and the replacement of teeth. PI Dental Center are also the originators of the teeth in a day. That's a revolutionary treatment that delivers fixed teeth and implants placed for a big-time dramatic transformation in a mere 1 day. If you are struggling with your teeth, major pain, maybe you don't like the way you look, it actually becomes a self-esteem issue for some people. Well, know that you can be fixed up. You can be changed. And you can have that happen in Fort Washington at PI Dental Center. Start with their website, PIDentalCenter.com. Make sure you visit PIDentalCenter.com to request your new patient evaluation.